Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Today's guest is somebody I was really excited to sit down with and hear his story. I first met him back during the Lumberjack World Championships this past summer, and he was telling me about this river trip he was getting ready to embark on and how he was going to do the length of the Wisconsin River and try to do it for a world record. And I was just sharing with him, you know, some different ways he could document this and how he could tell his story through Instagram. So we got to kind of talking about social media here a little bit, and then as he started to go on this journey, it was so cool to see just how he was able to complete this thing that he set out to do. Because let's be honest, there's a lot of people that talk about one day I'll do this thing, one day I'll accomplish this goal, and he just went for it. And so, you know, I commend him for just chasing his dreams and going after his goals and working hard to achieve those things. And so I talked with him what his training process was like, what inspired him to do this, and all the little things that happened along the way as he was setting out to break this record. So I hope you enjoy our latest episode with Kyle Parker, and maybe it'll inspire you to do something similar one day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined today by the fastest man ever to canoe the Wisconsin River, 436 miles over 25 dams in just 5 days, 19 hours, and 57 minutes. Who's counting? Kyle's counting. And that's more than 7 hours quicker than the previous record. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kyle Paddling Parker, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I like the nickname.
Yeah, not a problem. So first off, what inspired you to go for this canoeing record?
Right. So in college, I worked at a canoeing outfitter in the Boundary Waters, and that's where I really found the love of canoeing. And then throughout the last year, I kind of just started thinking, oh man, the Wisconsin River, that's a cool river. You know, I fished on it a whole bunch. I lived in Stevens Point during college, and, you know, I just want to try and do the whole thing. So I was starting to look at kind of my schedule and realize, you know, I don't really have that much time off of work. So, like, how fast can you do it? Sure enough, I found the record holder, Joe Spinetta, and contacted him. And he's like, yeah, I do have the record. It's 6 days, 3 hours, some minutes, and it's completely possible to do it way faster. And from then on, I just started looking into it, got hooked, and sure enough, this summer started and bought my first racing canoe. That was a lot of fun. Start learning how to paddle a racing canoe, what the differences are, and really start planning out the actual route.
Yeah, and it's cool that the previous record holder was he willing to kind of give you kind of a guide as how to do it and everything?
Yeah, exactly. He was so helpful in the entire process. I mean, right from the get-go, he was encouraging me and giving me tips along the way, some training advice. And then while we were actually on the river, he had my location as well. And I shared his number with my support, Dylan. And throughout the entire time, he was just feeding Dylan information to then feed to me when he saw me. And so, like, every time we stopped, Dylan would say, okay, Joe says, you know, it's going to be fast the next 5 miles, and then stay the left over here, and then go right around that island, and this and that. And with everything he said was just absolutely right on. He's done the river, the whole thing, multiple times, so he, like, knows it by heart. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he was acting like a pit crew chief during that time,
yeah.
Which is
he was our
amazing.
Eyes in the sky.
Right, exactly. And that's amazing to have that. I know that some people might take the angle like, oh, this guy's trying to beat my record, I'm not going to help him out. But, like, to have that, I don't know, mentality of wanting to
like pass along the love mm-hmm. of this and help somebody out in that process is really cool to hear.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm glad that you got that support from him as well. So that's great.
Yeah, it was super cool. He really was encouraging me because he said, you know what, I'm going to do it next year anyways, and it's not really fun to race against yourself. So I want you to break the record.
So he's going to try to break your record?
Right, yeah. As soon as I got off the water, he texted us the next day, and he said, training starts today.
Oh, my gosh. Got
to lose 30 pounds.
Man, this is going to be – we're going to have to make, like, a documentary out of this.
Yeah, it might go back and forth for a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah, that'll be awesome, though. I mean, and how old is he in comparison to you?
I think he's like 40s, maybe 50s. I'm not really sure. I only met him once. Other than that, I just talked to him.
You have youth on your side, so
yeah.
That's your advantage.
Right. But he has experience.
Trust me. So yeah, there's the trade-off
right there.
Mm. Wily vet against yeah. the, I mean, you're the current record holder, so you got that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. So how did you train for something like this? Like what, can you take us through the process of what training for this was like? Did you go down the river a ton beforehand or just do parts of it that you wanted to get familiar with? Or what was the training like?
Right. So the training was definitely lacking. What I started off doing was just getting on the water as much as possible and just canoeing as much as I can. And that really helped me figure out kind of what my gear situation is looking like, help me pace out, you know, how fast can I actually go in this canoe? How fast do I need to go? And so I broke it down to like during the week sessions and then weekend sessions. And so during the week, I would be on the water about 3 to 4 times a week, maybe 1 to 2 hours at a time. And then on the weekends would be like my dedicated river runs. And so then I would be scouting out different sections of the river, you know, marking landmarks, times, wind, all that sort of stuff, just documenting absolutely everything. And I actually used the Onyx Hunt just because that's the app that I had
right.
for satellite imaging and tracking my routes and everything like that. And then I was talking to my boss, and he's done all sorts of big endurance events as well. And he recommended that I do some sort of dry land training as well, because you get to a point where you kind of hit a plateau. And I don't actually think I ever really hit a plateau. Maybe I did and I just didn't really notice it, but
it's pure adrenaline.
Yeah, right. So I would try to do some dry land training, like pull-ups and sit-ups, to start activating those muscles for about 30 minutes before my actual paddle, and then get on the water for an hour. And that seemed to help quite a bit because you're like already tired and everything like that. And then actually get into the motion of it
mm-hmm.
to eventually help with the fatigue. So by the time I started the actual attempt, I only canoed maybe 2/3 of the entire river. Just because I was limited on time, I had to find rides back to my car, you know, because I'm not going upriver in one weekend.
Right.
And then my longest training session was about 3 weeks before the attempt. I had like 36 hours where I could do it. So I started in Wisconsin Rapids and then paddled from 9 p.m. to like 3 a.m. and got halfway across Peatonwell Lake. And Peatonwell Lake is the biggest lake on the entire trip. It's, you know, that's your make or break time frame. If you get the wrong wind on Peatonwell, you're pretty much done for.
Okay.
So the plan was to canoe it at night because then the wind's not as big of a factor, right? You usually have less wind
mm-hmm.
in the nighttime. So I went across, got halfway across Peatonwell. My goal was to get all the way through Castle Rock, which hindsight is quite far in the middle of the night, you know. The next day continued on through Castle Rock and made it all the way to Portage, Wisconsin, which is where I got picked up. And that was like 36 hours, and I traveled somewhere around 70 or 80 miles, which is, I needed to average 73 miles per day every single day for 5 days. And that time I did like 75 miles in 36 hours. And oh, I was man. Like, oh boy, this is getting a little scary here.
Yeah. Just that seems so overwhelming to try to keep that pace throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's wild. Like what was the longest stretch that you, paddled for in a day while you were breaking this record?
My longest day was a 21 hours on the water. Right. So,
dang.
That's right from start to end. So mm-hmm. I obviously took a few breaks in between for lunch and dinner or whatever.
Right.
But that was on the second to last day, I believe. No, I'm not really sure. It all kind of blends together.
I was going
to
say, man,
point.
You probably were just like blacked out at some point where you're just like, all right, just locked in here.
Yeah. Right around, I feel like right around hour four is like when you get in the groove and everything else just kind of melts away. And then right around hour 16 is where things start to get a little fuzzy and just kind of like forget what I'm doing, and then
yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's just be done with the day. But nope, you still got some more hours to go.
Right. Yeah, you see the distance you traveled, you're like, all right, can't give up yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that's where, like, I don't know, your support system and everything like that comes into play.
Right.
So who was somebody that was helping you throughout this?
Yeah. So Dylan Durst, my awesome roommate and best friend. We met in the Boundary Waters about 4 or 5 years ago now, and we've done all sorts of trips throughout our friendship. And then when I started planning this, I was like, hey man, I'm gonna need like some support on this. I can't do it on my own, and all you got to do is just drive the car, make the food. And he's like, okay, I can do that for like 2 days, 3 days, something like that. And I'm like, all right, well, hopefully I can convince him to do it longer.
Gonna need you for about 5 days, 19 hours, yeah. and 57 minutes here, boss.
Right. But he ended up being so pivotal in this whole thing. I mean, everything from coordinating with Joe, being my contact through him because I can't be looking at my phone all the time, to making me food and, you know, helping me make the decision of it's too windy and it's time to get off the water, and you know, just how to get around portages. He was scouting them out before I got there, especially for the ones that I hadn't done before. And then just like keeping me sane as well, you know, keeping the spirits high and, you know, telling me, okay, your pace is good here. You're gonna have to get to this checkpoint by this time and everything like that. So he really, I like to say I did the record, but really we did the record for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having somebody that's, I mean, that supportive and making sure they're knowledgeable in the stuff that you're looking for can really make or break when you're going after a record like this. Because if you read a situation wrong or you don't have that support there, if like you were just trying to do this all by yourself, it would be a completely different experience.
Right.
So.
And safety as well.
Right.
I mean, just like having someone to check up on you and watch where you're going from the ground as well as from GPS and, you know. Everybody had my location. My family was all watching. My mom was checking in.
Oh, I could imagine. Yeah.
But having someone like there, like, you know, could pull out the binoculars and see, okay, yeah, he's still upright. We're good.
Yeah. So to have this planned out and calculated out to where you have all these people making sure that you're doing okay throughout the process is, I think, a really important thing for anybody looking to do something similar to this, wherever you might be listening from, whether you're going to try to challenge Kyle right away or do it in your area. It's important to have a plan and not just go willy-nilly down the river and try to go for it.
And also having someone that you really trust and
someone
that you know, like if things go wrong or if something comes up, that they can just deal with it and you don't have to worry about it because all your brain power is being spent elsewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Staying upright.
Yep, definitely. So what was something that surprised you about yourself while you were completing this journey? It's like while you're out there, you're just like, man, there's got to be those points where you probably thought about packing it in, right?
For sure.
Where you're reaching that muscle fatigue and you're like, oh, geez, it would just be so much easier to like bail on this and not do the rest of the journey.
For sure. I mean, I think the biggest thing is even when you're tired and you think you're done, you're really not. Like you can push your body so much harder than you ever think you could. And part of that, part of my motivation was just having this amazing group of friends cheering me on, my family. And then of course, all of my new Instagram followers, I was like, I can't let them down too. Like right. I got so many people watching me. And so if I quit now, you know, like what the heck, what's even worth it?
We're bailing on this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, to have that support system too has got to be really encouraging. Mm-hmm. Knowing that there's going to be people along the way, like saying, hey, you got this.
Right.
Whether it's like seeing you along the river, and just saying like, hey, there goes Kyle.
Yeah.
He's in my neck of the woods. Or if it's somebody sending you a message, like that's really cool to have mm-hmm. too.
I didn't really get to check my messages on the trip very much.
Could imagine.
So I didn't really see those until I got off the water and I was like, oh my gosh, like so many people are like interested in this. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like some guy that is going down the river. But what really brought my spirits up at some pivotal moments was, people either pulling up when I was like at a portage or yelling from shore, go Kyle or whatever they were yelling. Or one guy even drove up on a jet ski on Lake Wisconsin and was like, here, I got a care package for you, like some water and snacks and a beer. And I was like,
that
oh,
is
man.
Wild.
Yeah.
You just like, I couldn't even order this, man, if right. I wanted to, but it just like came. You're like, is this a mirage? Like, how long have I been paddling?
I was like, oh man, this jet ski's getting really close. Hopefully it slows down. And yeah. then he's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, oh my God, that just like, that gave me that extra boost on that, on Lake Wisconsin. It was like getting dark. I was, you know, kind of tired, but I had to get across Lake Wisconsin's last portage on the river. And that gave me the boost to just shoot across it. We had no wind that night. It ended up being a beautiful night looking at the stars and everything like that. But yeah, just people on the river and knowing that people are out there watching and cheering me on really helped.
Yeah. That's great to hear that you had that. And, what would you say was the most challenging part of this?
I don't really know what the most challenging part. I think the most challenging time was on the, the last night, got over the portage on Lake Wisconsin, and it was like a pea soup fog on the river, and this last 90 miles of the river, I had never paddled before, so I did not know what I was getting myself into. Can't see anything. There's like no moon, no stars. I can basically just see the outlines of the river and can't see the sticks until they're like right beside me. And I come up to this like really weird current, and Joe had warned me about this. He said, when you get to this current, stay to this side. Well, I didn't really know where it was, so I was on the other side still.
Oh, no.
And I hit the current and I was like, oh my gosh, like I almost, that was the closest I went like to being like, oh man, I'm in over my head, was that weird current and just not being able to see. And ended up calling it at day five, a little bit past that dam. And then I said to Dylan, I was like, if this fog is like this in the morning, I don't want to go out there because it's like dangerous to be out there.
Right. And, the unknown, the mystery of it all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just being on that big of a river with so many weird currents and logs and just the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. Was just really scary. And so the next morning we woke up and it's still foggy, like sun's getting up, but it's like, it's my last chance. I have like 27 hours before the clock expires mm-hmm. and 90 miles to go still. Which is a lot.
That's pretty daunting.
Yeah.
Like even if you're in a car, like 90 miles, you're like, oh my gosh, are we ever going to get there?
Right.
But yeah, in a canoe, it's a totally different ballgame.
So we woke up and the fog was there and I was like, man. So then we just like sat at the boat launch and just waited for it to clear. And finally the sun started to peek over the clouds and I could kind of see a little bit. And I'm like, all right, well, we just got to go.
That's now or never
so
kind of moment.
Start going just slowly at first, and then the fog lifts and just fly down the river. But the entire day, I was still, you know, in the back of my mind, well, if that fog sets in again tonight at the same time it did last night, like, I could very well be done and just not able to finish, no matter how much I want to. And, you know, so that whole day I was kind of stressed out about that, and learning how to read the river, because up until this point, it's just been a lot of flowages, like flowage after flowage. It's flat water, pretty easy to do. And then luckily enough, got to like 9 p.m., no fog, and I'm like, perfect, clear skies, got a little sliver of moon up there, and then all of a sudden, I was like 2 miles from the Mississippi, and I was like, what the heck? Like, how did I get this far? And
we made it!
Yeah. Yeah, and then that just gave me the extra little boost and paddled her on in.
Yeah, that's special, man. Yeah, to, like, I don't know, have it, like, you're going to face some adversity. Like, it wouldn't be, I don't know, the experience that it was if you didn't have to, like, grind through something. Obviously, the physical toll, but, like, the mental side of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a time where you're like, all right, well, this is kind of make or break here. I got to make a choice. And the fact that you're able to still, like, continue and push through that, I think, like, tells you a lot about yourself, like, what you're able to accomplish and put your mind to. So that's great that you were able to, I don't know, have things work out the way you needed them to.
Yeah.
And complete this crazy journey.
Yeah. You know, everything works out in the end. And that's something I've been learning over the last few years. And sometimes you just got to keep on stroking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There we go. Ta-da.
Got the catchphrase.
We do. Yes. Shirts are in production, folks.
They are. Maybe.
They are. All right. You heard it here first. So how did you keep your mind occupied while you were out there? Like, I think you probably didn't have, like, music in, or did you have music in?
I had a speaker, but it ran out of battery in, like, 5 hours, and I was very disappointed.
I was going to say, I mean, like, probably, like, to the average person, 5 hours is a good chunk of time if you're out on the water, like, doing a little river float in a, I don't know, on a summer day down the Namakagan, but... When you're doing
18 to 20 hours a day, it's
right. It's pretty minimal. It's a small chunk of that. So,
I mean, the good part about not paddling the entire river is I was paddling a new section like every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was fun to see.
Yeah.
Other than that, just kind of thinking about, you know, oh, that's a cool bird and whatever. And then when the sun went down and it got dark, like one night I called a few friends and just started talking. I was like, hey, all right, you're on for like the next half hour to an hour. You got to talk to me.
Got some time to kill here. Yeah. Got to keep my mind occupied. Got to finish this thing out for the day.
Right. And then just, you know, thinking about whatever comes into your mind and just taking it as it comes. And, you know, I think when you're on these big endurance events or even just spending a lot of time alone with nothing else to do, you kind of start to think about things a little differently for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, just how you're, I don't know, you're processing things, maybe, I don't know, looking forward to like, you figure stuff out like you do, like when you're on, now this is a lot different, but like when you're, mowing your lawn, mm-hmm. I don't know, a lot of good thoughts can come to you while you're mowing the lawn. Like you problem solve while you're not really thinking about much. Now, obviously you're physically doing something that's exerting you. You're not like drinking a summer shandy as you're mowing the lawn. It's a little bit different ball game, but
it's not really, because you're just doing like a repetitive task over and over. So like, you know, cleaning your house or your room, you know, it's not that much thought into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really like exerting myself on every stroke or anything.
Okay.
It just like, I mean, you get to a point where you just don't really feel anything anyways. So it just becomes like a habit.
Yeah, like that, you know, muscle memory is just going
for
it.
You're not even thinking about where you're going or what you're doing, and your mind just like wanders.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, nice that you had that time too.
For sure.
Bummer that your speaker died, but it's part of the process.
Yeah.
So what was the most rewarding part? Like after you completed this or some feeling that you had along the way, what was the most rewarding part about doing this?
That's a good one. Honestly, I think it was just talking to everybody, like from you and me here to people on the river to, you know, a news article or my friends and family that want to hear about it and it's that level two fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really fun while you're doing it, but it's fun to think about and talk about and remember after for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like one of those things you look back on and be like, yeah, that was one of those things that right. I was able to do and I pulled it off.
Just trying to build that dad lore, you know?
Right. Yes, exactly. Son, did I ever tell you about the time that I paddled down the Wisconsin River?
Exactly.
That was you?
Yeah.
That's great. In a rocking chair somewhere.
You didn't actually do that.
No, I got documentation, see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got news articles. I'll whip them out, you know?
Yeah, I like frame. That. Right. Just wander up to the attic. Let me get these down for you, but just be patient.
I'll show you something.
Yep. That's great. I think we should all aim for more dad lore. Like not just like the what ifs, like Uncle Rico, where he's like, man, if Coach would have put me in state football, mm-hmm. like we would have won championship. But like actually putting stuff behind it, like you are doing here is, yeah, great.
Well, this might be a little off topic, but something that Dylan and I learned early on in the Boundary Waters is like, if people, especially older people, are telling you, oh man, I wish I would have done that when I was younger, or I wish, you know, this would have went that way, or blah, blah, or what you're doing is so cool, you know, you're doing something right. Mm-hmm. So just keep on doing what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Just to be able to, yeah, have those conversations with older people can be very insightful. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, those woulda, shoulda, coulda kind of things.
Right.
And you're like, all right, well, at least I'm taking the chance and doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And if it pans out, it pans out.
Even if it doesn't, you know, something right. good will happen from it.
Right. Yeah. So that's cool that you're just going for it. And what was the most interesting thing you saw while you were on this journey? Was there anything where you're like, whoa, wasn't expecting to see that? Or maybe something in wildlife? I don't know. There had to be something that you came across that was like, I don't know. Or maybe it was what you were expecting. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is anybody lighting off fireworks that shouldn't have been? Like,
not really.
No.
Not really. I mean, it's. Well, actually, here's something. Yeah. I knew the Wisconsin River was, you know, a lot of dams, a lot of hydroelectric. Historically, it's been a, you know, source of income and livelihood for so many people in Wisconsin. But, the section just south of Wisconsin Rapids surprised me at how bad it was, like how bad it seemed at the surface. I don't really know what the actual, you know, root cause or what the actual biology, whatever it is, set ecosystem. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not an NRES major.
Okay.
I'm a finance guy.
Let us state this. Yeah. For the record, folks.
For the record. It smelled really bad.
Okay.
And there was like, you know, a not a healthy smelling river, whereas above it and even below it was just seemed like a great river. And then just that section alone was just really like, I didn't even want to get in the water. It was like so smelly.
Mm-hmm. And was there like noticeable garbage, or was it just like,
not that actually surprised me. I did not see much garbage on the river. You know, I was looking forward to picking up some on my training stuff and I just like didn't see any.
That's good.
So that was good.
It's but a good problem to have.
Whatever else is in the water, I'm not really sure. And then as soon as I got to Peatonwell Lake, it was gone. So
yeah,
I don't know what that section was, if it was just some weird algae or something. I'm not sure.
We need to go back there and do
not
some studies.
Not an NRES major.
Right. Again, let us reiterate. Just observations, casual yeah. observations here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But yeah, well, that's good that you didn't see anything like too sketchy mm-hmm. while you're out there. Like,
one awesome experience
okay.
that I was not expecting was on that very last day, about 9 a.m., pull off the river at some boat launch, and there's just like this guy there, and he just waves and wave back and pull up to get my breakfast. And he had like, he's like, hey, dude, you want a walleye and chicken of the woods taco? And I was like, I don't know. Yeah, sure, I guess. He's
yeah.
like, yeah, man, I just caught this walleye this morning, and I went over there to take a pee and look up and saw a chicken of the woods. So I made some tacos, and they were pretty good. Like, flavor was definitely on.
Okay, nice.
Like,
you don't stumble upon that every day.
No, just a random guy, you know, making some fish tacos on the shore. It was awesome.
And you lived to tell the tale.
I did, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's good.
Then, And then, like, I got halfway through, and I was like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be eating a taco from a random guy on the river on my very last day.
You know, I've been warned about, like, candy from strangers and, like, white vans, right. But never about the guy on the river trying to give you a
fish
taco.
And chicken of the woods taco, yeah.
Right, yeah. There needs to be more awareness for this, but...
Well, I'm nothing bad happened.
I was going to say,
so.
I'm glad that it worked out well for you, because that could have easily been like a cautionary tale.
It very
like,
well could have.
You just had to break the record, and then all of a sudden, you heard a rumble in his stomach.
Had to pull off the river 5 times.
That's why that part was smelly.
Exactly.
Somebody got some bad tacos. Oh, man. So you talked about this a little bit with some of the... articles and things like that have come out since, but what's the response that you've gotten since completing this lengthy paddle and breaking the record?
It's been awesome. You know, on the river, while I was doing it, so many people reached out and messaged me, you know, awesome things, and I still don't even think I've read all of them. There's just so many. Mm-hmm. But even coming home, you know, I've had like, one or two people say, oh, you're the, I feel like I recognize you. And I'm like, nice.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah. I'm sure you get it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Or used to maybe.
Well, it's pretty, I mean, my wife kind of jokes about it because we'll go somewhere and she'll be like, oh, I think that person must follow you because they're looking over here quite a bit. I was like, yep, probably kind
right.
of deal. But I mean, it's also a cool feeling. It's like, cause people are interacting with, your stuff and, I don't know, they become like a person that wants to know more about you and like see your story and everything. So,
right. Yeah. And everybody's interested in what I'm doing next, but can't quite tell you that yet.
No, not a Northern Nerd podcast exclusive. Sorry, folks.
Not today.
Yeah. But things are in the works. Yeah. I was going to say, that was one of my last questions for you is what's next. But there is a new challenge that awaits. Can you say that?
There for sure is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured you wouldn't be like, all right, done. Never picking,
yeah,
never no. paddling again. Like
no, if anything, it just grew my love of
okay.
canoeing and being outdoors and adventuring and pushing myself. Yeah, I guess that's the main takeaway is that I just can't get enough of the adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, caught the paddling bug.
I did.
It's all about
it. I for sure did. Not even just paddling. You know, I'm excited for this winter, do some more stuff around the area, maybe head up to the Porcupines, do some snowshoeing. I might even get into cross-country skiing,
ooh.
Which I swore I never would do, even working at the American Burka Miner.
Oh, I mean, like, they're definitely going to get you doing it, man. Like, you had to know eventually at some point. They're like, show up with a pair of skis.
Right.
Just going to leave these here, Kyle.
Well, I think the main reason I would do it would just be to keep in canoeing shape because, like,
yeah.
a double pole classic cross-country skiing is just straight-up lats, I
mm-hmm.
think, at least I hope, and core.
Yeah.
Right, so that's perfect for canoeing.
He's not a, what do you call it? A body major? Or I forget, sports science guy? I don't know.
No, I'm not that either.
Not that either. Just another disclaimer, folks. I don't even know the word for it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
but yeah, that'll be another thing to kind of break up the winter.
For like, sure.
I've found that, yeah, skiing's definitely helped to, I don't know, you're able to enjoy the area more. Because it's a beautiful area that we live in.
Right.
Not only throughout the summer and fall, but there's also so much to do during the wintertime too. So
yeah, excited to get back into fly fishing as well. I haven't done like any fly fishing or fishing in general all summer just because I've been, every day has been paddling. That's it.
You've had other things that occupy
right.
your time.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get back into some of my other hobbies and hopefully, you know, share them on Instagram and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, so how can, speaking of Instagram, how can people find you on Instagram?
Yeah, you can find me at parker.paddles. It's my Instagram.
Parker
I
paddles.
Have Facebook and TikTok, but it is not as fun to be on for me.
I was going to say, I'm
like
finding
it.
A similar thing. Like, just posting on Instagram, there's more of a community that was felt there.
Right.
And didn't get the same thing from TikTok or or as much from Facebook. So
I'm entertaining the idea of starting some YouTube channel or something like that, but nothing quite yet.
Yeah. Things are in the works, though.
Things are in the works. Yeah. Many things are in the works. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long winter. Got to break it up somehow.
I was going to say, yeah, he'll be in the lab just getting ready.
I'll be on the computer all the time.
Yes.
Printing maps. Right. Researching.
What does it mean? Well, like, I'm like, we see you in January. You just have like this huge, yeah, wizard-like beard. What happened, Kyle? Maps, man. Maps. Charting, plotting.
Yeah, my bedroom right now, actually still, I haven't taken them down because I get good memories from looking at the maps. But throughout the whole summer, I was posting maps, you know, string lines and, you know, detective type stuff.
Yeah.
All summer long. And now I got to take all my hard work down. But I'm excited to start planning the next thing for sure.
On to the next case, detective.
Mm, right, yes. Exactly.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come and chat on the podcast in our state-of-the-art studio.
Yeah, this is quite the setup. I like it.
For those that aren't watching the video, this is in my classroom after hours. We're recording, but it's been provides good acoustics throughout the day, I'd like to think. I spend a lot of time in here, so this is like, yeah, it just made sense.
Yeah, it feels very homey.
Yeah, well, that's good. I figured it wasn't going to be the easiest to do it at my house where there's a one-year-old. She loves, like, I don't know, getting into stuff and things like that. So I feel like she would have probably eventually made her way onto the show, which isn't a bad thing, but just maybe wasn't the vibe we were going for.
Yeah, maybe next episode you can have a one-on-one with her.
Yeah, that would be entertaining. When she, like, first starts to talk and everything like that, yeah, maybe we'll have her on the show.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Right now, every reply would be like, Dada or Mama?
Maybe chewing on the microphone.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Taste testing it out. Well, with that, we'll wrap up the show. Thank you guys for listening. Kyle, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, just best of luck in all your future endeavors and everything like that. And I'm sure we'll see you around town.
Yeah, hopefully.
Or on the river or something.
On the river for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.